Let us pray. Lord, break thou the bread of life to me, to us, tonight. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. For over 5 years, this book has been on my shelves unread. But this week I felt moved to read it, and I thank God I did. It is called Daring Greatly: How the Courage to be Vulnerable Transforms the Way We Live, Love, Parent, and Lead, by Dr. Brené Brown. It's reasonable to say that the book is not only a love affair with vulnerability, but also an argument that without vulnerability, there is never an authentic love affair. Dr. Brown recounts a conversation with her therapist. It went like this. She said, "I hate vulnerability. I can't stand opening myself to getting hurt or being disappointed. It's excruciating. Vulnerability is complicated and it's excruciating. Do you know what I mean?" Her therapist, in that irritating way, nods and then says, "Yes, I know vulnerability. I know it well. It is an exquisite emotion." And Brown responds immediately and vigorously, "I said it was excruciating, not exquisite." And thus her journey began. These past days, I have come to see so clearly that vulnerability is a theme that runs deeply and profoundly and constantly through the experience of Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. The first reading for tonight, Exodus 12, that reading that speaks so engagingly of head, legs, and inner organs, describes a people in a state of stark alertness, emergency stations. They are to eat this precious meal, but not in a state of comfortable relaxation where they can reflect upon it and discuss its significance, but rather they are to be poised to move at any moment. And this is a vulnerable place in which to live, in which we savor the presence and the purpose of God, but also have to be prepared to experience bereavement and loss in a moment. Yet would we want to live? Can we live any other way? Brown comments, "Vulnerability is the core, the heart, the center of meaningful human experiences." And then our second reading, 1 Corinthians 11, relates the first Lord's Supper. As Jesus literally embodies himself in the bread and the wine, but in so doing, he becomes vulnerable. For these are elements that can be discarded, they can be trod upon, they can be spilt with indifference at best and meanness at worst. In so doing, Jesus takes risks, and he has risked ever since radical abuse and tortuous manipulation. Not many years after that first communion, St. Paul has to write to his beloved but so naughty Corinthian church that they must take bread and wine with discernment. Otherwise, they abuse the vulnerability that Jesus has embedded in those elements. And then, as you know, not many centuries after that first communion, men and women, but mostly men, are prepared to argue and divide and even kill those who will not accept their understanding of "this is my body, this is my blood." Goodness. Jesus here exhibits radical vulnerability, incurs abuse, But vulnerability is the core, the heart, the center of meaningful human experience. And then the gospel. Jesus embraces vulnerability. He sheds his dignity in order that he might be the authentic, vulnerable servant. I remember to this day a colleague of mine, Meg Burkle, who, preaching on Maundy Thursday without any reference to her rector, began thus. She came down from the sanctuary, she removed her stole, then her alb, and then she sat down on the chancel steps. Thank God I was speechless. It was an incredible act of vulnerability. But in so doing, she captured the dynamic of vulnerability that Jesus engaged in. Of course, she did not know how her act would be received, and nor did Jesus. And of course, she did not know whether the clarity of what she did would prevent others from hearing what she wanted to say, and nor did Jesus. But vulnerability is the core, the heart, the center of meaningful human experiences. But as you know, the gospel is far from over. As I observe Peter's initial response, "You will never wash my feet." So I hear the voice of one who would rather not be entrusted with the vulnerability of another. Often during premarital conversations, not often, always, I will talk to a couple about their previous relationships. It's not uncommon for there to have been abuse in one of those relationships. Generally, sadly, the woman. And I allow her to talk about that in front of her partner. And then I say to him, "Do you realize how much she is entrusting her vulnerability to you?" And nearly always, the man begins to weep. It is a precious thing to exhibit our vulnerability, but we know it is also a precious thing to accept the vulnerability of others. And so Peter, do we not love Peter? And once he got the message, he then says, "Well, Lord, wash all of me. Let me just immerse myself in your vulnerability." But it doesn't have to be like that. Dr. Brown comments, "A sense of worthiness inspires us to be vulnerable." Yes. Yes. It seems to me that the core, the center, the powerhouse that enabled Jesus to embrace vulnerability so totally is found in that verse 3 of John 13. Jesus knew that the Father had delivered all things to him. He knew that he had come from God, and he knew that he was going to God. And with that profound knowledge grasping Jesus' being, he knew he was worthy. And he knew he could embrace vulnerability. Now, time only allows me to allude to a couple of disclaimers. It is right, good, and proper that we distinguish between the vulnerable and the victimized. Vulnerability is a vocation that we take up. It is not to be forced upon us. That's abuse. It is right and good and proper to acknowledge with shame that the very place, church, that honors the vulnerable victor Jesus has all too often abused the vulnerable. God help us. And it is right and good and proper to note that we always need support and encouragement to accept his vocation to us to vulnerability. Madeleine Lengel writes, when we were children, we used to think that when we were grown up, we would no longer be vulnerable. But to grow up is to accept vulnerability. She says to be alive, fully alive, is to be vulnerable. I want to watch, observe closely, and worship this vulnerable Jesus. For as Dr. Brown says, vulnerability begets vulnerability. Courage is contagious. That's why I want to be in proximity to him. In 2011, a Harvard Business Review, Peter Fuda and Richard Bowden used a metaphor to describe how leaders spark and sustain change. The metaphor is the snowball. They say it starts to roll when a leader is willing to be vulnerable. This is seen as courageous and inspires others to follow suit. So forgive the phrase, a most holy snowball begins tonight. As we observe our dear Jesus being vulnerable with his followers, then and now, his blood forgives me the times when I've refused vulnerability. His spirit empowers me to adopt vulnerability. And then he says, come, follow me. Amen.